And hi, everybody. I'm Gary Mack.
And Rich Baxter over here.
And we are back with another edition of the Baseball Talk Radio Show. Rich, how the heck are you?
Not bad, Gary. We're certainly moving along in this season, this baseball season so far. We're almost at the point of the playoffs, it seems like.
Well, I bet you Manfred wishes it was there already, because guys are dropping like flies. It's just an amazing thing. It's almost like it's the little engine that can't, or is trying not to get to the top, because they keep going, lurching forward. I mean, as you say, we're like about 30 games in, halfway there towards the playoffs, and we've got one team that's played only 15 games. COVID-19 is around again. We were talking before we came on the air. My team, the Mets, just canceled the weekend series and the final game of a series in which they were building some momentum. Four games lost there. You guys lost, your Phillies lost some games earlier in the season. St. Louis has played 15 games, Rich. Most of the other teams have played 26. By the end of the weekend, probably play 30. They've played half of that amount, St. Louis. How are they ever going to make it up? I mean, it's just a crazy season.
Yeah, and the way they start making some of those games up, as you said, it's sort of like scheduling on the fly with some of these games, and they have to get them in somehow. They're going to have to, you know, make schedule magic happen. I'm sure some of these teams are not going to get a complete season in, and there's been a lot of talk about that. But I think they should meet a minimum. They have to meet a minimum to make the playoffs. You just couldn't go by percentages, because as you just said, the Marlins have 20 games in, and they're still in second place in the NL East. So some other teams have well over 25, 26, 27 games. And here the Marlins only have 20, but they're hanging in second.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I just read that the Astros just closed their alternate training site, like where their minor league players have been practicing due to the positive COVID-19 test. So, I just think it was such poor planning to even go through with this. I mean, this whole season, I think the initial idea probably would have been better to play in the Florida in a bubble, even if you had the COVID-19 scare there. If you're in the bubble, I mean, the NBA's in Florida. It doesn't seem right. They're playing in Florida, I believe. Doesn't seem to be bothering them. They're in their bubble, and they haven't had any cases. NHL's in two locations in a bubble as well. I think baseball should have tried to figure it out somehow, the whole thing was too poorly planned. I mean, the 60 games and then the short season, you know, the short training camp, and guys are getting hurt all over the place. Steven Strasburg's out for the season. He's got a carpal tunnel issue. He's going to need surgery. Starlin Castro just had surgery on his broken wrist. Odorizzi, I think, is down with shoulder problems for the Twins. Chris Bryant is out with a wrist injury for the Cubbies. The two superstars on Atlanta, Alba and Acuna Jr., both out with wrist injuries. You know, the big stars have fallen, and who are we going to watch, you know? And I think this stoppage of play thing was really goes against the whole grain of everything they had tried to set up, I think. The whole idea, I thought, about having an alternate training site and a 16-man pool was you drew from that and you played the games. This given guy, you know, Cardinals had like 10, 12 days off.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just my little rant there. It just didn't seem right.
Yeah, the Marlins had a solid eight, nine days off. The Phillies mm-hmm. had close to a week there. They're back up to 22 games played, though. They're playing terribly. They're next to last in the National League. Only team worst is the Pirates at 5-17. Percentage-wise, they're at 227 are the Pirates. The Phillies are above them at 409. But as you said, some of these teams are not playing enough games by now. Cardinals only up to 15 games as of the time we're doing this show. And, you know, there's a deadline on this season that's going to have to be adhered to. Mm-hmm. And some of these teams are just going to have to double up and, you know, God knows what to make up these games. But they're playing just about every day. And due to the long season of baseball that they normally have, they wanted to try to get all these games in, but it's starting to look doubtful that they'll get full seasons in.
It certainly does, Rich, and I don't know, you know, and even if they do manage to get through to 60 games, what is the playoffs going to look like? It's going to be a mess. I mean, you know, everybody's still in the hunt, and we've got a story we're going to talk about because there's a trade deadline coming up, and what are they going to do about that? I mean, you know, usually you have teams by now that are clear buyers and clear sellers, and now you're four games out. It's your last place team is four games out, and it almost kind of gives you the idea that you got a shot to win this thing. And, you know, what do you do? Do you buy or sell in the trade deadline? Personally, I'd be at this point, I think there'd be a lot of people. I'd be a seller if I were, you know, with the Mets, because there are guys out there that want to win this year and feel that they've got a chance, and you might be able to pick up some good value, you know, some good bargains. I don't know, but it's just it just seems everything was planned wrong and is going wrong for this season.
Yeah, and initially the MLB proposed that they were going to go to this bubble setup, which is the exact setup that hockey and basketball are using. And as you said earlier, it's working so well for them. I don't think anyone in the NHL as of last evening even tested positive, not one player. So what they're doing there is working tremendously for both of those leagues.
Yeah, it's working great for them. I think the NBA, too, hasn't had a positive case or anyone test positive. So whatever they're doing is working, and it seems whatever baseball's doing is not working. So I guess we'll just have to see how this all's going to play out as it rolls along.
Yeah, I've sort of boycotted the NBA. I
yeah, well, I don't.
They're
yeah.
too political for me. I just can't go there.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched it either. I just happened to hear the report that nobody has tested positive in the – I've caught some of the NHL games, but the NBA, no. I'm with you there, but I don't know. Well, we were talking about it earlier. We've got a trade deadline, and you know, people are talking about players moving and whatnot. Is it even worth considering a trade deadline this year, or should they have skipped it, or what do you think?
It certainly seems like they should have just played with the rosters that they have on hand. Doesn't seem like they can even make it through the season, as we were just talking about. It's like the little engine chugging up the mountain, puffing, trying to, as you said, trying to make it up that mountain, the little engine that could, but are they even going to be able to finish this season? As you said, there's more and more players that are coming down, testing positive. And we probably both thought earlier in the season that since they had the 60-man roster, that they would simply swap in and out players and keep going. But that's not the case. They're stopping a team for a few days, several days, before they're allowed to replay any games, and just adding to the whole, you know, menagerie of problems that this is causing. So hopefully they'll be able to end this season, get it under control. We'll get a virus vaccination announcement at some point. I think I heard October would be the earliest time that we would hear that. And hopefully it's something that will work.
Yeah, something's got to happen because it is just nuts this season. This whole year has been crazy. And now I just read that there's an asteroid heading towards the Earth. Now, don't worry. Direct impact is less than 1%. But, you know, just the fact that it's heading this way and it's due to be in our area, I guess, the day before election, it just adds another thing onto this crazy, crazy 2020 year. I tell you, I'm a summer person, but I am looking so forward to New Year's Eve this year that to get this year in our rearview mirror, because this has just been a nutty, nutty season.
Yeah,
year,
yeah,
rather.
And it's been trying for many people, sad for many people. Other people still adhering to the policies of, you know, personal protection and social distancing, and you have to keep going with it. There, sometimes I notice when I'm at work, you know, guys will be running around without their masks. They think this thing is over. They're getting too comfortable with it. It only spurs me on to wear my mask more and be the oddball of the bunch, you know, the one that's wearing the mask. It's just something that has to be done.
Well, better to be safe than sorry, I would imagine. I don't like wearing it, but I'm home most of the time, so there's really no need. I mean, if somebody delivers something to the door, I put it on. If I do go out to a store at all, I have it on, so... you know, I'm not as crazy with the wiping down of everything as I was when it first started. We used to unload groceries out on the front porch and wipe everything down, and it was crazy. Don't do that as much. Do a little bit of it, but...
Now, I saw an ambulance driver the other day in one of the fast, quick check type of coffee places that we have around here, and he had the big mask with the side filters that screw on.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, wow, he's he's prepared, you know, like being an EMT or ambulance personnel. That was probably the biggest setup I've ever seen somebody wearing since this started. But God bless him.
Well, I had somebody that I used to work with. They contacted me about a month or so when they were going back to work, because they had been working, you know, like part time almost. They were trying to shift it. And he was nervous about going back, and he asked my advice. And I said, "Look, what are you going to do? Sit out?" And then they'll eventually lay you off or something. Do you want that? Or just wear a mask all the time. Keep a small hand sanitizer in your pocket whenever you can do it. If, you know, you bump into somebody, you grab something. Look into a face shield if you were that worried. You know, you have the mask, you have the face shield. Sure, if the mask... You know, they say the mask, some of those masks don't do really anything. But if you got a face shield in front of you, that's going to make up for that. So he went back to work, and I don't know if he got the face shield, he never said. But, you know, you do what you got to do. I mean, but you have to, we have to keep the economy going. They can't shut it down again, then it would be a complete disaster.
Yeah, that's for sure. We already been through the toughest time with that, hopefully. And as you said, about 8 days to the trade deadline. And it'll be interesting to see if any teams do anything. The cream is rising to the top as I'm looking at the standings here. The two coast teams are doing the best, the Yankees and the Dodgers out there. And some teams made a nice turn. The Braves, top of the NL East. The Cubbies doing quite well there in the Central. And out west, it's the Oakland Athletics. Big surprise for me. The Angels in dead last place with a .296 winning percentage.
Yeah, a little shocked at that myself. Their whole thing is pitching. And the other thing is the Yankees are in a virtual tie with Tampa Bay. They have a percentage point lead, but they're... Like I said, in a virtual tie, I think they have a game at hand. So it's interesting. Baltimore is only 4.5 back. Boston is just pretty bad. But does that change your decision at all? I mean, your Phillies, as you said, are having a rough season, but they're only 4 games out.
Yeah.
Do you try to fix what you may need to make a run, or do you sell?
And that's just what you said. They're 9-13 and 4 games out. That's
yeah, that's crazy.
Just shows you the craziness of this season so far. They still have a chance with that record.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams under 500.
They did add, believe it or not, they just added a few relievers.
Yeah.
3 or 4 got rid of a couple that have been hanging around for a little too long with the team. But, you know, that's been one of their glaring deficiencies. So maybe that was their move. I doubt they're going to go out and get anybody else because they have JT Realmuto they have to think about re-signing. And right now they're, you know, if you ask a boss for money and you're turning in a 9-13 record, he's going to look at you like you're crazy.
I don't think you can base a lot on that, on these records this year, because just the craziness of it all. The fact of the summer camp, they were ready to go in spring training and then they had to go to the summer camp. And I just think it caught them off guard. I don't think, you know, they say base hits are down. I don't think teams are ready to play. And I think for years people saying we don't need spring training. I think this proves that you do need the month of spring training, that it's not the same level of baseball. And it's just the way it is. You need to get in the mood, in the groove, or whatever you want to call it, and ready to go. And I don't think that they were prepared for this.
Yeah, lack of fans, the lack of start times usually. Sometimes there's a lot of games being played in the afternoon in front of no fans, of course. They do have the piped-in sounds and things, but for these players it's probably a big change as well. And as you said, it's just one of these seasons. It's best going to be turning a page on it as soon as it's over. Hopefully your team does well in this mess after it all shakes out. And we had another big story happen right after we did, we skipped a week with the podcast, but last Monday, Fernando Tatis Jr. with the San Diego Padres, and I know this has been talked about all over the media and Twitter and things like that, but he hit a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch, and then all of a sudden there was an uproar of, oh, that was an unwritten rule of baseball. You're not supposed to do that. And then he, of course, had a dozen people supporting him or more, you know, dozens upon dozens. Players, Hank Aaron, sent him a support letter, you know, keep it up, kid, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And but the unwritten rules of baseball, do you think that that's something that's sort of going by the wayside all of a sudden?
I'm kind of old school on this, but you know what? I don't know. You know, bullpens are so bad that, look, maybe I'm basing it on the Mets, but I've seen them blow 9-run leads and stuff. So I guess it's okay. It seems odd that with a 3-0 count, you'd be swinging with a 7-run lead, I think they had, or something. You know, usually you'd take a ball at least, but on the other hand, he got a pitch he could hit, and he drove it. And I'm kind of torn. I just don't know anymore. You know, I think I'm so confused with just life in general Nothing seems to make sense anymore. That, you know, it was an unwritten rule, and the next time he should have got knocked down. But if you do that, then there's a warning, and then, you know, so they've kind of taken away all those unwritten rules that they used to have, and it's a different game. You know, we've got bat flips and this and that. I don't like that. I don't like the showboating. I don't like it in basketball. I don't like it in football. And certainly I don't like it in baseball. I think you hit, you drop the bat. You can high five and everything in a dugout, but the showboating, the bat flips, not for me. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is, look, the game's changed and the attitude in the game has changed, and this is just a reflection of that.
Yeah, the game has changed quite a bit. You know, don't have to throw a 4-pitch walk anymore on an intentional walk, things like that. You can't slide into second and take out the second baseman.
Right.
That was always something you had to do in baseball. When there's a play at the plate, you know, the catcher would generally block the plate. So there's a lot of these rules that are old school rules, the unwritten ones, so to speak, have been taken away just simply by rule changes. But I certainly don't think that a guy hitting a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch, what do you want him to do? Strike out? I mean, what are we saying here? That he should take a walk instead of a hit? What if it was only a double?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If it was a base hit or something, would that be okay? I think it's the point that he was, whatever, was it 7 runs or whatever, that they were up, that you would take a ball at least. I mean, you would take a strike. You wouldn't swing on a 3-0. It's like rubbing your face in it. But then it goes back to, would you steal a base if you're up by 6 or 7 runs? And, you know, to me, it would always depend upon what inning it was. If it was the 8th inning and you're stealing a run, that's a little bush. If it's the 1st or 2nd inning and you happen to have a big inning and you're up by 7 runs, you just never know what could happen, especially with the pitching today. So,
right.
You know, people could chip away at a big lead like that, so you would steal the base at that point. I don't know. You know, like you say, what's he going to do? He's up there. He's paid to hit. He's up there to hit. You don't want to strike out. There's no mercy rule in baseball.
They're going to hear that and say,
yeah, there might be one coming.
The team's up by 9 runs or more after the 5th inning. The game's called.
No, I understand the unwritten rules, and I'm sorry to see some of them go. This case, I'm just torn on. It is what it is nowadays, and it's a whole new game.
Yeah, those little unwritten rules now are under much more scrutiny. As baseball chugs through 2020, as Gary said, that you didn't mention the two hurricanes that are hitting the golf at the same time, with, along with the asteroid.
It's a crazy season. I mean, two tropical storms that could turn into potential hurricanes hitting the Gulf Coast of the country. What a mess, Rich. Just a mess. But and speaking of Mets, messes. One of our favorite agents that we've had a complaint about in the past, or at least I have had, Scott Boras is under fire from the pitcher Trevor Bauer. I think he's with the Cincinnati Reds now. Was a former Cleveland Indian. Now he's with the Cincinnati Reds. He put out a tweet the other day, and I really don't know what started this whole thing. I tried to find a back history. Didn't really find much about it, but the tweet went like this. Scott Boras wants to shut my vlog down. Is not a friend of the people or fans. Is not a fan of players marketing themselves. Is not a fan of marketing his players. PSA to all the players reading this, he doesn't care about you. He cares about himself and his ego. Be smart. That's from a player talking about an agent. I don't know how, you know, professional that is or what, but I think there's a lot of truth in there. And I think that I've been saying that for years, that Michael Conforto of the Mets is a Scott Boras agent, and I wish to heck that he would change agents, get rid of them. Matt Harvey was, still is, and look what it did to his career. And I go back to the guy with Boston that I never remember his name, but he came up for free agency. Boston offered him $17.5 million, I think, the offer sheet. He turned it down. Boras never got him a job that year. He finally got a job like in August or July of the next season for like $5 million or something, and then never made that money back again. I think he's out of the game now, or getting 1 year contracts for $5 million or whatever. Could have had $17 million and stayed with Boston, but left. And I think Boras just takes these guys to free agency, hauls them out because he wants to get the most money. And I don't think it's always in the interest of the player.
Yeah, and I think Trevor Bauer in this sense is trying to say, Boras, you know, stop advising your players not to play, that the game can't be played without you, that sort of thing. But I'll tell you, in defense of Scott Boras, if he wasn't an agent, I'd like to see him as the commissioner of baseball, because he's got some great ideas. Now, if baseball would only do half of what he suggests, I think they'd be much more successful. He recommended starting up over the July 4th holiday again. He recommended stretching the playoffs and the World Series into the Christmas holidays, which would be a tremendous boost, I think, to last the season that long. And probably, although I'm not 100% sure about this, I would think he would want everything centered and in Florida and Arizona, the way they were first talking about all this happening. So you can fault him for as much as you want, but he's a super successful agent, and he does come up with some great ideas for baseball, which baseball just never listens to him. It seems like they're just their humdrum self, and do what they want to do because of the current commissioners and things. But yeah, he does have some great ideas. I got to give him that.
Well, I think it's his ego, too, that turns people off to his, you know, they won't listen to his ideas because he's such a pain in the butt. I don't have it. That's not a bad idea, keeping the season going to Christmas.
And playing the World Series around the Christmas holidays. Yeah. I think that would be it would showcase the game so much. You know, right now it seems like, oh, by the way, we're playing baseball over here, you know, whether you want to watch or not.
But then the thing is, when do they start next season? I mean, do you end it in?
I'm sure these guys have had enough rest. They've had enough, you know, not playing in the spring. So if they have to start in a couple months, I think I could start back up if I was 25 or 24 and had a few rest, you know, months rest. I'd be ready to go. And I think most of these guys have to stay in shape all year long. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they would have a problem picking it up again. But, of course, they're not going to do that. But
right.
Yeah, it was a great idea, I thought. You know, starting the baseball season around a July 4th holiday, make it special. Make it something like the NFL does. The NFL has a wonderful way of presenting the game, playing certain games on certain dates, building it up, so to speak. You know, the game itself is the game, but when they hype it up, it really draws people in.
Well, baseball used to do that, too. They used to do it with the Memorial Day doubleheader. That was a big deal. And July the 4th doubleheaders. And Labor Day doubleheaders. And then they got away from all of that. Now, sometimes, last year or something. The Mets didn't even play on July the 4th. What? July the 4th is baseball. I mean, it's crazy what they've done to the schedule. And I don't know who's behind it all, but, they used to have those special days.
And stay away from the special interests as much as, you know, make it around certain days. Do the extra mile, like you said, the doubleheaders. You don't have to support every cause that comes down the highway.
Yeah, please.
Frankly, I'm sick of it.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm sick of it.
It's sports. We watch sports to get away from that nonsense.
Yeah, sports is not political. It's supposed to be the furthest thing from political, one side or the other. It's a game. Let them play. But don't get involved in things. I know it's difficult not to, but they're missing the boat on being special, making the sport blossom more, giving it a chance to excel. That's why people are turning the game off. They make it boring. They don't have these things anymore. They don't have the little carts that would run out and pick up the relief pitcher and bring them to the mound in 30 seconds. And you're watching it. You know, it's fun. That's kind of stuff that used to happen in the 70s, you know, way back in the 70s where, you know, none of these current people can even think about because they're 20-something and they just arrived on the planet and they want everything to be their way.
Yeah. Well, nothing ever happened before they begin to think about things.
Right. I mean, it's just amazing. The game fun again.
Look, when I was a kid, we had Old Timers Day. I don't know if the Phillies ever did that much.
Yeah, Old Timers Day.
But we used to have that, and that was the coolest thing because you got to see these old guys, and some of them would, you know, they'd get up there and they'd, you know, hit the ball, and you'd say, that guy was a slugger. But you know what? It's amazing to see that guy again. And it wasn't
a slight against aged people. It was just called Old Timers Day. That's part of baseball.
Yeah, and it was, in fact, it was great. It gave these guys an identity again, if you will.
It was a draw.
It was a draw. And I think what's wrong with the game today is it's the same thing what's wrong with the game of golf. What's wrong with every sport is the money. The money got too big. When you hear an NBA star say, I'm going to sit down for a week so I can be well rested for the playoffs, you never heard that. I'm not going to make this trip because, oh, it's across the country. It's near the end of the year. I'm not going to go. That's what's killing all of these games. You can't. Now, thank goodness, baseball, we haven't had anything like that yet in baseball. where guys, is, you know, like a Mike Trout saying, nah, I'm not going to go to that Yankee series because I'm tired or something like that.
Well, now they've been opting out, so well, they have an excuse that they can use.
Yeah, this year, this is a totally, yeah, this has been a whack job of a year. But, I mean, in general, you know, you don't see that in this sport. It's mostly been in the NBA. But I don't know. Yeah, keep the politics. Look, if you want to go protest something, you want to go to some kind of march or something or talk out about something, that's fine. That's your business. Do it on your time. Don't do it on my field. I don't want to have a message thrown at me. You know, it's yeah. like...
It's like force feeding you a spoonful of this, a spoonful of that.
It's like when it went, and then the team, because they're so afraid of political correctness, that then they have special nights for certain groups. And I'm like, I don't want to go to a night like that. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to, not that I couldn't care too less what people do. But do I want to go to a game that night? Or do I want... You know what I mean? I'm not expressing myself. People are going to call me some kind of bigot now. But it's just...
No, everything's... I don't think I it needs to be in saying.
Sport. You know, you want to have a hat day, cap day, that's fine. You want to have a scarf day, give out scarves, that's
and make,
fine.
And make every day... A day where everybody can go. I understand exactly what you're saying. They shouldn't have special designated days for different groups, this group, that group.
Yeah.
Make it every day, you know, like you're welcome every day, but you don't have to individually specialize in a day for
Even
somebody.
The nationality days are okay, I guess, because it takes in a larger audience. It's when they get into the special group things that really I'm not in favor of. But then again, some of those people could say, well, you know, if you have a cancer day or something, and what's the difference? And I guess they got an argument there. But I don't know. Just try to keep the politics out of it as much as possible, because it's just not it's killing the game. It's not fun anymore. And, you know, that's why a lot of people were turning the minor league games, and they're trying to kill the minor leagues.
Yeah, they're missing the point where they're so focused on specialty things, whereas before – everything was special. They built the game up better. Just look back to the 70s, see what was going on at the time. The 80s, you know, to a certain extent. But that'll lead us into our next topic here. And Gary, I was going to spring this on you unannounced, but I did tell you before we started the show. What do you love and what do you hate about the coronavirus season? One of each.
Well, I love the name you gave it. That's great. Rich, I can't think about much that I love this year. I guess the fact that they're even playing, that you can watch a game. Hate, there's a lot. I can give you a list. I guess I'll bunch it into one thing. I hate the rules that they put into place in the DH. In the National League, which includes the DH and the runner on second in the 10th inning of a game. And the 7th inning games doesn't send me either. But what are you gonna do about that? But that's what I hate. The love, I don't.
Yes, you hit it right. Baseball was able to come back and be played. We went months without it, a doubtful time where it might have been canceled. We've seen some fall sports already canceled. I think you hit the nail right on the head with that. The coronavirus season is what it is. But Now, I've been listening to MLB Network Radio a lot, and sometimes they've been praising some of these rule changes, believe it or not. And that's what we had talked about on our shows a few months ago before the season started and we learned of these rule changes. Now, all of a sudden, we were saying that some of them are going to be embraced. And certainly on these talk radio shows, certain announcers are taking a liking to certain things like speeding the game up, starting a runner at second. You know, if you listen to that network, that's how change comes about. And they start accepting it. And before you know it, next season, we're going to see it again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I do not like the guy on second base, though. That is, that to me is so, even though both teams get to do it, it's such an unfair and a silly rule, and it's not baseball. That's Sunday morning softball league stuff when you got to complete a game in 2 hours because the permit for your field is, 2 hours long or something. That's not professional baseball. It's not professional sports. Like I said, the 7-inning game, I've watched enough minor league games and they do that. They play 7-inning games with for doubleheaders only. My fear is that they're going to, eventually try to go there at full time for regular games to make the game shorter and quicker. I wouldn't go for that at all, but I can live with the 7-inning game in a doubleheader. DH, my thoughts on it. I just absolutely hate it. And it's not done very well in the National League. I don't have the numbers, but I see a lot of teams complaining about the DHs. I know the Mets have not done very well with this DH. They're going to point to some of the guys that are hitting 300, but what are they hitting as a DH? There's a big difference there. So I don't know. What about you? What have you hate and loved about this season?
As you said, I love that they're trying to play baseball, and it's come back to a certain amount. But to me, I've lost some of my interest in baseball for those very reasons you were saying. You didn't like the DH, the shortened games, the 7-inning doubleheaders. I've lost some of my zeal of watching the games, even that there's no fans there. You can't jump in your car and drive there and see it. It's just, to me, it's sort of like something that's not real almost.
Yeah.
I'm watching it, but I can't reach out and go there. The participation of the fan is very limited to sitting home and watching it on TV, which, a lot of fans do mm-hmm. only do that. But to me, not knowing that there's fans there, the scariness of the COVID situation still, all the problems that they've had and continue to have every day has made it a chore for me to, open the online and go onto the news and say, what happened to baseball today?
Right. I'll tell you, what I miss the most? I miss being able to go to Brooklyn and go to a Cyclones game. I really do. I miss that. But not that I go a lot. I mean, last year I only got to one game in all because it was another crazy year, but different reasons, different things going on. But just the fact, as you say, to get in a car and go to a game, I enjoy those games. I enjoy them now, even though they have those crazy rules in it with the DA. They have all of those rules in, well, they did last year in the New York Penn League. But it's a you accept it more in the minor leagues, A, and B, you're really, you're going, you're closer to the action, so you're going more to enjoy baseball. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? It's more purer at that level because you're closer to it, so you see it a lot better than you do necessarily a major league game because you're farther away. You know, unless you're lucky enough to have really terrific seats. But usually in a minor league game, you're really on top of the action now.
You're close, yeah.
And you really, it's a purer experience watching it. And I miss that. And I miss the crazy antics between the innings. And I miss the smaller crowds. And I guess I miss the crowd. I guess I just miss going and being out in the air in the nighttime. I mean, it was always it sounds kind of crazy, but I always had a big, when I'd come out of the tunnel for the first game that I go to in the year, and you come out, you see that green grass and everything, it was just be a different feeling would come over me, and I always had the feeling at a night game that when you get there, it's light. And you're sitting there and you're watching this game, and then all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, I'm outside. You know, sometimes you don't really realize it. You get into the game and you're sitting there and you're in your seat, you're comfy, you're watching the game, you're into the game, and then you look up and you realize, oh, I'm sitting outside watching a ball game. It's that kind of crazy feelings that I miss.
Yeah, the sounds, the smells of the ballpark, being there. Yeah, that's certainly, your first time at a ballpark. You can always remember that. And that's what draws you in sometimes and grabs you, takes a hold of you, and you never let go because you love that, you know, feeling of being at a ballpark. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the pure fans haven't seen that. It's something to watch that replays on ESPN at night, the top plays of the games and things like that. But there's a lot more to baseball than that, as we all know. So tough thing there that we're going through, not being able to see it. But at least we have something to watch and keep us entertained.
There's something. And you know, if you want to not watch it and tune in and drop out and come back in later on, you can do that as well.
Yeah, well, I've been watching a lot of the games actually listening to them on radio because, you know, the fakeness of the crowd noises now, you know that's fake. You're looking at the little cutouts behind the home plate. The other night I came home and I swear I just had a senior moment, I guess. I turned on the television and I saw the cardboard cutouts behind the players playing, and I was like in another dimension. I said, oh my God, you know, I had to catch myself. What's that behind? You know, like I forgot the pandemic was on.
Yeah. Well, I have crazy. I had the opposite reaction. Because Miami doesn't really draw, I didn't really notice the difference that there were no fans because it's usually empty there anyway. So it didn't really bother me. I am going to try to share this screen. I don't know if this is going to work. Can you see that?
Yeah, I see it.
And I don't know if you saw what happened here. We'll see a replay in a second. There's some teddy bears out there, but you got to watch close on this replay. When they show the replay, what happened to this poor...
Okay, there goes the ball. Took it right in the noggin. Wow. Fan safety there.
Yeah. I can't bear to see it anymore. I thought we'd take a look at that. I thought that was something clever that happened this week. And how do I get out of this now, Rich?
Very interesting. I think if you hit stop sharing, it'll take it off the screen. But that was interesting. I never saw that. So that was new for me.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this week.
Yeah, we've covered a lot. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Hit your subscribe and like buttons if you like this podcast. We certainly love producing it for you. Check out Gary's stuff at MetsMusings.com. I'm over at FightingPhillies.com, and we're both on Twitter and everywhere you can find us.
And yeah, and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, wherever else you can think of. Don't forget to check out, if you'd like to help out the show, go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/baseballtalk. You can find us there and become a patron and help out the show. Or you could also become a supporter of the show by going to anchor.fm/baseballtalkradioshow. So either one of those would help us to grow the show, bring in new people, and give you better shows, I guess. All right, Rich?
Absolutely, yeah. Give us a little cushion to maybe travel when we can, as we've been talking about many, many times. So we'd love to have your support of the show. And, you know, short of that, just hit subscribe wherever you listen to us from. And also, if you want, drop us a line. I know a lot of people used to write us. We still get email from a few select listeners, and that's what keeps us going. So rich@baseballtalkradio.com or gary@baseballtalkradio.com is where you can write us. And we'd love to hear your comments and suggestions.
And Rich, you have yourself a great week, and I'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks. And the listeners, too, don't forget, stay safe, wear your masks, and wash those hands. Thanks for listening.